What's up, everybody? Paul Hickey here with nooffseason.com. Welcome to Sports Card Strategy Show, episode 48. You know the rock music, and I've got my main man. That's right.
What's
Kendall
up?
Lefty McKee. What up, man?
How are you, dude? I am good. I have a wild statistic about an F1 card today.
Sweet. Is that your loss of the week, the win of the week, or just some notable thing that you want to throw out before we
I'll be doing like the buy sale
piece. Okay.
Because like it sounds incredible, but then when I like unfold the statistic a little bit, we talked about that one time where we were just like, yeah, some of these statistics can look really, really good. It was a couple of weeks ago, but anyway.
That's cool, man. Well, I got a lot of fun stuff I want to talk to you and the audience about today too. So I'm glad we've got a lot of talking points for today. And I'm just enjoying selling cards right now. It's been a good experience selling cards. I've put some bids in, but I haven't been too aggressive on a lot of the stuff that I've been going after because I went through my big acquisition phase over the last couple of years. And now, as I sort of announced to just about everybody, I'm personally liquidating for no other reason than just I need more cash because we're closing on a house on October 28th. And we have to pay most of it in cash because I'm self-employed. So I can't get a very big loan amount. So just need a lot of liquid cash. And
by the way. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the butt. And so then... Also, like we sold everything, so we don't have a car, so we need to buy a car, and just prepare for all of that stuff. So I'm super excited to move back, but there's also like all these. We all have expenses, so I'm not trying to be like complaining or anything, but there are like thousands of dollars that add up in expenses for us to move back. Like not just the flights, but like we have to ship our dog back, and that's like $2,500. And then like
valuable member of the family though.
Well worth it. Can't live without Poncha. Poncha the dog. She'll be three. She's the best. And I never thought I would have a dog as a dad, but it's happening. And it's the best. So we gotta ship her back. She's a valued member of the family. But anyway, that's why I've been selling all of my cards. It has nothing to do with like how I feel about the market or anything, but I will say it's been going well. So hopefully if you've been selling your cards, it's been going well for you. Also,
Toa, don't steal this from me. Dang it.
What up? What up, Toa? Good to see you.
Good morning. Don't reveal it. Oh, you did it.
Okay. Well, Toa did it. So Kendall, why don't you do your L of the week?
Go ahead. L of the week has to start with Trey Lance going down in the first quarter. I think it was the first quarter, definitely the first half of the 49ers game. Man, what a awful thing for the hobby.
Yeah. That sucks.
Trey Lance was a huge name coming into the offseason. Everybody was acquiring those like big draft spots in the breaks and things like that. Like Trey Lance was, I mean, he didn't really look good week one, but you were just like, okay, he's definitely destined to have better week than that. And then he comes out and just has a horrific lower body injury. And Jimmy Garoppolo back in action, man. Like my L of the week is that Trey Lance is out. My win of the week is I think the 49ers get better with Jimmy Garoppolo with some consistency, he knows.
Kendall going straight into the win of the week. Love it.
I didn't even write that down as a win of the week, but I think it's a win for the 49ers that they just get to focus on one thing now, because every week that Trey Lance would have, had struggles or then they would have been like, well, we have Jimmy Garoppolo. What, there would always been that narrative of, hey, put Jimmy in, we paid him a ton, like the most to ever be a backup quarterback, the biggest salary to ever have one, turned out to be a good roll of the dice for them. An L of the week is Trey Lance card values. Oh my gosh. And honestly, Paul, I mean, I might be in the minority here, but I don't think he's a buy either. You know, like, no, with a guy who's an extremely mobile quarterback and was already like, I mean, I did like him, but like, when you already had speculation about his long-term value in the league because of the play style that he plays, I mean, look at RG3 and stuff like that. You don't know these mobile quarterbacks, especially coming out of college, what they're going to look like at the pro level. And with this injury, I don't know if Trey Lance is going to get the same amount of hype the next cycle that he already got. So
yeah, and that really does suck for his card holders right now. People who spent money on Trey Lance, I'm very, very sorry for you. This is not a good day. Yesterday was not a good day. And I agree with Kendall to the extent that, like, he's not really a buy. Like, there's really no market for him right now. So I think he's a hold, and you have to hope that I think the best case scenario for Trey Lance is actually an unplanned perfect segue. But I wrote this in Trey Lance's nooffseason.com profile that I updated today on the site, is that the best case for him is that he's Tua in a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, because this potential silver lining for Trey Lance investors, people holding his cards right now, especially his big cards, is that he's still young and the franchise still has a lot of draft capital invested in him, and that he is Tua in 2 years. You know, Tua's in year three. And he's my L of the week, believe it or not, not because of his performance on the field, but because I told people to sell Tua before the season started. And I think that those people probably did well, because I know Tua's cards were rising due to the August hype of the NFL season and the hopes for Tua. So I don't feel too bad about people who listen to me, but I do feel bad about the fact that I was pretty adamant about selling Tua before the season started to mitigate some risk. And now you have, like, basically 2 weeks in, he's a premature overreacting MVP. Like, I'm overreacting to call him an MVP candidate a little bit, but he looked like an MVP yesterday against the Ravens, and he's got Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and he's showing no signs of slowing down, looking like he could have a breakout third season. So Tua's my L, only not for his card owners, but for those people who listened to me and sold him before the season started. Because if you were holding him now, you'd be a lot better off. And I think Trey Lance owners just have to hope that, you know, that he can come back around in a couple years like Tua. I mean, let me know what you think in the comments, but I think Kendall's right. I wouldn't buy him now. And I think the best case scenario is that you got to hold him at least 1 year, maybe two, to try to get back to where his market has been this offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really, really unfortunate. And I like the Tua comparison, honestly, because they have similar games, except for, honestly, I think Trey's ceiling is higher because he's just a bigger dude. Like, there was a video that came out this week, or I think I saw it this week. I don't know if it came out this week, but it says, like, Tua's talking on a podium, and he's like, yeah, if I can't see you, you can't see me. Or if you can't see me, I can't see you. And basically everyone's like, yeah, because you're short, you know, like, and so he was basically saying, like, I need you guys to get in windows so I can pass you the ball. And they're like, yeah, well, you need to grow, you know, like. But we've seen short quarterbacks do it,
yeah,
in the NFL. You know, Kyler coming Russell back Wilson, huge Drew last night. Drew, yeah. I mean, like, Baker's not the best example, but still, like, you've seen short quarterbacks do it at the professional level. But typically, it's always extremely mobile quarterbacks, and I don't know how mobile, quote unquote, Tua is after the hip injury.
After the hip,
it's pretty serious. Yeah. So,
yeah. So, you know, really feel bad for Trey Lance owners. Let us know if you're holding any Trey cards and trying to figure out, you know, what to do, what your mindset is, who you're mad at, all that stuff. or if you're just in a better frame of mind than I would be if I were holding Trey Lance. So Kendall, who's your W of the week this week?
Yeah, I have three of them this week. Two of them are very nice. Quick, just like one-liners. My W of the week again is watching Victor Wanyama again. Like
Wembenyama?
Whatever. Victor, I'm going to be the best player in the NBA. That's his name. Yep. You got me on him a couple of months ago in comparison to Chet and stuff, but I've been watching some film of his, and coming from a basketball background and things like that, I was just like this dude is legit. He's super good, and I know, like, when I'm watching this film, I'm like, okay, he's playing against competition that's well below his level right now. And so there will be some hard elements to the NBA. And you've got to worry about injury as well. I mean, you can't not worry about injury when the Liz Frank injury just happened to Chet, and they're similar body styles. But this guy's going to be super good, and his cards are going to be wildly valuable. So I'm excited about that. Also, a little shout out to Becky Hammon winning the WNBA championship. You know, like her 30-day change on the signatures price guide is up 14.5%.
Hey, shout out Becky Hammon. She was on my list for W of the week.
Yeah.
And right here. And basically got her autograph Prism 2021 WNBA signatures back a PSA 10.
That is sick, by the way.
In my vault right here. Here you see it. And yeah, congrats to Becky Hammon and the Las Vegas Aces for winning the WNBA championship. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And congrats to me for getting a PSA 10.
Congrats, Paul. What are you selling that for? Curious.
I don't know, man. I think I'm going to list it in an auction. I bought the card itself for, I think, $29 ungraded. And then I spent $30 on the grading. So I'm into it for $60. And I don't know, maybe a little 99-cent opening bid auction will yield the true market value for this. So you think now would be a good time to list it, Kendall, off the back of the WNBA championship?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you all might see it on eBay coming up.
She's a sell for me, for sure. Not because I don't believe in her long term, because all those things that we had about her last year still can be true. You know, like that Popovich came and spoke to the Aces during the press during the run to the finals. You know, honestly, there might be this grand scheme by the Spurs that they wanted her to go get head coaching experience, you know, with the Aces, and know that she's still the predecessor successor. She can be the successor for Popovich in San Antonio still. Maybe they just wanted her to get more head coaching experience. I don't know. Maybe they loaned her out to Vegas. I like your
thought process there. You never know. You never know.
And so I really do think she's still a long-term hold. A long-term buy. But I think at the moment, there's probably going to be a peak. I can't imagine that, you know, winning the WNBA championship is not a high point in the summer, because like WNBA doesn't even really have a true market yet. And so like this is an absolute hype cycle right now, you know, like this would be the best time to sell Becky Hammon. So, and several other of the Aces players, for instance. I mean, like, Griner's cards came wildly down after, from what I looked at, after the media hype initially this summer. You know, like, you're just for this is like a kind of
reason why she was in the news, but it's still it still helped her.
This is kind of like one of the last situations where you have in season hype cycles and truly moving into a buy in the off season. So, I really do think that that Becky would be something that people would want to acquire right now. So, for instance, I'm looking at a 2020 Panini Prism signature for $30 from Becky. So still, I mean, I know it's 2020, it's not her rookie card, but still, like, she's kind of legit.
I think it's a good card. I really do. I think it'll hold value if nothing else. I don't think it'll go down. So I like it.
Yeah, so I have one more, but I'll let you go first because this one is actually an experiential piece from a card I was selling. So go ahead.
All right, well, I'm just going to go real quick. My other W's of the week are basically my other quarterback rankings because I did poo-poo myself for Tua and Trey Lance. I'm actually going to applaud myself for Trevor Lawrence, Lamar Jackson, and this guy right here. I took a stance on Patty Mahomes when a lot of other people around the hobby that we would have on the show really didn't like the stance I was taking on Patty Mahomes. I had him as a buy. I had him as had him outranking a lot of other guys that other people would have said actually did say, you got to rank Patty Mahomes below that guy. Had him above guys like Russell Wilson, Dak, other guys that really other people thought were underpriced compared to Patty. And while they may have been underpriced, what you really got to look at too is like Patty was in a dip at the time. And even though he was a lot more expensive than most other quarterbacks over the last 18 months, he has been a lot less expensive than he was prior to that. And I think that this graphic that I'm showing on my screen from today's daily Slab newsletter, shout out to Slab Stocks. They do a great job. Most of you probably are subscribed to that newsletter. If you're not, you should. They do a great job of just tracking the data and the movement of all sorts of cards. And so you see here, I mean, he's up pretty much across the board from his big cards to his sort of low range cards. And I think it's just because of winning. You know, I think this guy's a winner. I like the way Trevor Lawrence played. And, you know, you can't, even though Lamar Jackson lost to the Dolphins in a crazy game at the end, great game for the NFL, I think. I mean, that's the kind of game I want to watch as an NFL fan. I know other people like defense better, but I love that game.
A lot of, like, first two games of the NFL or first 2 weeks of the NFL have been insane.
Yeah. So Lamar just basically, you know, coming in and looking like an MVP as well. You know, he's a guy that we had at nooffseason.com and still have as like the number two overall football player. So yeah, I just wanted to basically shout out my quarterbacks and Becky Hammon as my W of the week. So,
oh, you had her as your W as well.
I had her as my W as well. So that's why awesome. She was queued up there when that's you talked awesome. About it. Yeah. So, all right, man, go ahead and bring us home with the rest of your W of the week.
Yeah. So I ended up talking to him last week about a Josh Young PSA 10, Sapphire that I had on auction. So this is like, okay. So another thing about me is I sell cards through eBay. Most of my transactions in terms of sales are from eBay. So I'm one of those people that subscribes to FeeBay or whatever, you know, like yep. You see all that in the hobby of people complaining about eBay or whatever. It's like, oh, it doesn't really matter to me as long as I'm selling cards for profit, you know, like, and like the shipping and info and all that kind of stuff is right there. There's some sort of accountability to it. You know, that's not so, you know, whatever. Anyway, I love it. I'm going to continue to use it. So last week, when Josh Young made his debut, I did exactly what I did with Gunnar Henderson with Josh Young. I made a pretty good turn on my Gunnar Henderson card. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna post this Josh Young card the day before he debuts. But this time I was like, okay, with Gunnar, I posted it at, you know, I bought it at 270, posted it at 400. And so it immediately sold. I listed it as a buy it now. So I was like, okay, I probably undersold myself there. And then there were some cards going for like 470-ish, but I was close to the top end. I just wasn't at the top. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to list this one, this Josh Young card for auction instead. And so I was like, okay, you know, so because I wanted to get that cycle. But I also listed it for a 3-day auction instead of a 7-day auction so that the hype cycle was still right there, because I know that, like, you know, you only got a couple of days of like a real hype cycle. It, like, even Gunnar Henderson, which came to the Orioles and was like destroying the baseball, after like a week, you weren't hearing about him, you know. Mm-hmm. So So I did a 3-day auction, which was like an extra $1.50 fee, which that's the first time I've ever done that, but it ended up paying off. I sold my card for $127.90. So pretty much $130, bought it for $80. So that's a pretty good turn as well. And making my national acquisition list look pretty good. I've already flipped two cards for good margin. So, but the interesting part about this, and this is why it was like a win of the week, but it was also an L of the week. So when the auction finished, there was like a lag time between the initial lag time between the seller contacting me or the seller paying. And I was like, oh crap, here we go. Somebody got overhyped about Josh Jung in like day two, and now it's day three. And they're like, oh crap, I just bought an overhyped card. What am I doing? Blah, blah, blah. And they're not going to pay. And so I was like, okay, it's bound to happen to me at some point. You know, this is probably the one, you know. So I ended up messaging him like the same thing I do every time I sell an auction is I message them immediately saying, hey, thanks for buying. You know, and I say a little bit of a blurb about the player considering like that's what I do. So I like give some analysis in the like, hey, this is a good buy for blah, 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 reason, blah, 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 whatever, to like make them encouraged and feel good about their position. And then I put underneath that, hey, like as soon as you pay the next day, I'll ship it out. And so I get a response back from him almost immediately. And he's like, hey, my card got declined. I'm going to have to call my bank, blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
yeah, you're like, oh boy,
there it is. And so I was pessimistic.
Yeah.
And so, I responded back to him and I said, hey, that's totally fine. I'll give you a day, go figure it out, blah, blah, blah. So message him the next day, like within 24 hours, like almost on the dot. I was like, hey man, how'd it go out of the bank? You know, I'm not letting this like float into forever land. And he was like, yeah, I went to the bank today. They said there's something wrong with my card, which I was like, that doesn't sound right. You know, it's an online transaction. You don't need a card, but anyway, you just need the numbers. Anyway, he's like, I'm going to get my card in the next 2 to 3 days. And I'll have it in the mail. And sorry about this. I'm a big Rangers fan. Blah, blah, blah. So I was like, this is over. This is over.
How much is the card?
Less than
$200?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, this isn't getting paid for sure. So then I was like, you know what? Against my better judgment, I'm actually going to believe this guy. I'm going to fill the gap with trust instead of speculation.
You're a good guy, Kendall.
And so I was just like, okay. But I did tell him in the thing, I said, okay, everything I've ever experienced on eBay is telling me not to trust you. Like I said this in their interaction. And I was like, I'm going to go out on a limb and trust you here. And I'm going to not sell it. Or I'm not going to pull it down and put it back up for auction. But I want
and for the audience, the reason why you want to do that is because this is a small time window of hype, basically.
Yeah.
Like you want to get this thing back out. You can't afford to basically let this sit into 3-4 days in the unpaid for section of your eBay account.
Absolutely. And so I said, if it does not happen, and this is where I think this is why this story is valuable, because this is what I said to the person. I was very clear with my expectations. I said, I want you to know I'm trusting you, but if you do not pay, I will be forced to have a negative interaction with you on eBay and I will give you a negative review in that. And then he didn't have very many reviews. So it would have crippled his eBay account probably for a long, long time. It might have even had to just create a new one, you know, like because he didn't have that many transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like less than 100 and he would have had like 3 reviews and one of them would have been negative. And so it would have looked really bad. And so I was like, I don't want to do that. And I'm not threatening you, but I just want you to know, like, this is what's going to happen. I'm not going to just stand by, but I am going to trust you. Long story short, the man paid a couple of days later when he got his card in and he was super excited about his card. So, you know, it all ended up working out. So moral of the story, maybe fill the gap with trust sometimes, but
fill the gap with trust,
but know that, that those kind of things don't go often. Those things don't go well often, you know, like I was fully expecting to have to relist the card. I even texted Krim and I was like, hey, dude, would you want to be interested in this card at like 105 rather than 130 if this guy doesn't buy it? I just want to move it. And he was like, yeah, we'll figure something out. You know, so it's just like, because with Krim having a card shop in Dallas, like he could put that up.
He's got a market for it.
Yeah, he could put that up in his card shop and it would sell for 130, like probably the next day. But anyway, so it was an L of the week at first, and then it ended up being a W. So I just thought I'd tell that story.
That's a great story, and I'm glad. I love this show for the fact that we share those kinds of stories on the show, and I think it's important because like we all see the card porn, like funny excuses that probably you thought maybe that was one of those that wasn't as funny where you're like, oh God, like this, you know? So actually, real quick, I'm going to share a story that I wanted to talk about in this segment anyway. And then let's take some of these audience questions. Shout out Benjamin Clayton, the Reverend Rips and Oh My Shoes for chiming in here. We're going to get to your guys' comments and questions in a second, but Kendall's story made me think of something else I wanted to share. So I was fortunate enough to have like 51 listings all end this weekend within several minutes of each other. So I basically scheduled it out where I wanted it to end at around not between like 9 and 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the U.S. on like a Saturday night. I'm thinking these are all different kinds of cards from across all different sports. There's 51 listings. I'm going to kind of stagger them to end like a few minutes apart each, and they're each 10-day auctions. So I just want to see how this goes. And, I wouldn't say I promoted it a lot, but I did have like an email list of people that had bought cards from me before. And I included a lot of those people on the email. And so the bids did really, really well. And, I was fortunate enough to only have like 4 out of the 51 go unpaid for so far. Like 47 of them got paid for within like 24 hours.
Did the Indy get paid for?
The Indy got paid for at basically 66 and some change.
Dude, what a run that card had. I was like super happy for you.
Yeah.
I
think I bought it at like, I maybe went a little high on it. Like, what was it going for around 30 at the National? And I think I paid more than that.
Right? Yeah, around then, they would have been like 25, 30. So if you got like anywhere in that range, man, you made a decent profit on that.
Yeah, I made a good profit on that. I think it was going for around 25, 30. And I think I paid like maybe 35 or 40, but I sold it for 66. So that was great. And then I had another one that was out of 499 that I sent to PSA. So that one's at PSA. And I think I paid the same amount raw for that one, to be honest. So that one could be even more of a play later when I get that grade back, if it comes back a high grade. But making a second chance offer happened to me because I sold a Giannis rookie auto that was PSA. The auto was PSA DNA certified because he had signed it. Yeah. After it had been pulled, he signed it in person after it had been pulled from the pack. So it was like a 8 on the card, 10 on the auto. And the buyer immediately messaged me. I think it sold for $560. So I was like really excited because I think I had 400 into the card. So it was a pretty decent profit. And I was bummed because the buyer immediately messaged me, the winner, and said, my son like bid on this without permission and I can't pay for it. So I was like, okay. So unlike your situation, it's actually sometimes I think better to get an answer right away. Like I think it's actually better when the buyer tells you I'm not going to pay for this than it is somebody who like intends to pay for it, but says, hey, can you give me a couple of days or whatever? Cause then you're like, all right, well, this is like a $50 card. Why do you need a couple of days? Like with all due respect, you know, whatever. But I went in and I was like, I had never really done this before. So I Googled like how to make an offer to like the second highest bidder on a winning item or whatever. Cause I didn't want to relist this thing. So it's called making a second chance offer. You guys may already heard of it, but I wanted to just bring it up because you can go on.
No, this is good. I haven't done this, so tell me about it.
Yeah, so you can go into the item within the seller hub and you can click on like, I'll just, okay, I'll just take a second and show you. So let's say, actually, I don't have any listings right now, but I'll just show you kind of what it looks like. So here's, you go into selling and then go into your listings. And I don't think I have any listings, but let's just pretend, let's go to my orders. And then like orders and listings kind of looks the same. So like pretend this is listings. In this little drop down arrow, just click it. And then it'll say like, you won't see it on my screen now, because again, this is my orders, but it'll say like, make a second chance offer. And so that's what I did. And then it'll show the bids. It'll show your history of bids. And so you have to be careful, because you don't want to make a second chance offer to everybody that bid on it, because then you might make an offer that's like way low and one of the people who bid early. But I just made a second chance offer to the person who bid, like, luckily the next bid was $550, and that person accepted the offer and paid.
Awesome.
Ready. So that's great. That worked out. So a little tip for you guys.
Do you know how many of the 50 something cards you ended up washing?
Define washing for me.
Like, you lost money on.
Yeah, I probably lost money on maybe 10 to 15. I was underwater on a Caden Clark. I was underwater on some sealed wax that I went a little high on. A little bit underwater on like a hobby box of Topps Chrome F1 2021, for example, had gone down a little bit. So not bad. I mean, I made money on like what, 70 to 80% of the cards in sealed wax. So I was pretty happy with that. And I mean, I wouldn't say that my profit margin was huge, but I would say that there was a profit margin, which is good. I haven't looked at the entire spreadsheet yet to give you the real number, but something I can report back on later in a future show. So yeah, I like that. Okay, so Benjamin Clayton asks, shout out Benjamin, thanks for the question, thanks for watching. What's the thought process behind a 99-cent auction versus buy it now? He's talking about the Becky Hammon card. So
yeah,
I'll give like a multi-tiered answer, try to get through it efficiently here. So I've done a lot of buy it now listings. I don't like buy it now because I'm impatient. Like, when I list a card, I want to see action on it. And when I list a card, it's because I want to sell the card. That's just my personality. Like, I understand there's a lot of people, especially like Andy Kaysen, who's part of our team here, and he also runs Football Card Quest. He prefers only buy it now. And he has like his own strategy behind how he buys things, when he lists things, and he's football only. So I think he feels that like football specifically, to have it listed buy it now during different times in the season makes a lot of sense for him. When I list a card, I don't want it to dangle out there for too long. I want to have some action on it. And so I won't list everything starting at 99 cents, but I'll do my research and I'll be like, okay, you know, a tip Kendall gave me on the show a while back was go to, obviously, the sold listings of the card that you're about to list. And then the ones that sold for the price that you want to aspire to get, see how they sold it. Was it a buy it now? Was it a bid? And if so, like, can you tell how many bids it was? Like, can you tell what the starting bid was? A lot of the stuff, you can't really tell all the details of it, but you can get an idea. So like a Becky Hammon 2021 Prism PSA 10, I could be wrong, but my guess is it's probably going to be under $150 card. I could be wrong because I don't know. Maybe a PSA 10 is going to like bump the value higher than that, but I think it's probably like best case scenario, $150 card. So I wouldn't necessarily want to start the opening bid too high. And the reason why is because I've done enough auctions to know that basically what happens is when you start a card at 99 cents, you're going to get more bids early on than you would if you start the bid significantly higher than that. So for example, if I started it at $14.99, I'm going to get less bids early on. And so what happens when you get less, what you want when you set up an auction is you want a bidding war. You want a bidding war. You want as many bids as possible. That's what happened to the ND Rodriguez card that Kendall's referencing. The opening bid was low. it got a lot of bids because people were like, I'll throw a bid in on that. And so the reason why I would maybe start this Becky Hammon card out is I'd do my research and I'd be like, okay, what did the last one sell for? Well, if it sold for under $100, I'm probably not going to start the opening bid at like $9.99 or $19.99, because then what's going to happen is people are going to wait until the end of that auction and then try to snipe it at the end. And there's going to be very few bids, if any, until the end. And I'm probably going to get a bunch of lowball offers in the meantime. But if I started off at 99 cents, or I don't know, $2.99 or something, then I'll get more bids early on. And then the argument is like, well, if you're going to start it at $2.99, why wouldn't you just start it at 99? So it's basically, Benjamin, it's a great question. It's to create a bidding war and to prevent like sniping at the last minute for a really low price. I don't know, Kendall, if you have anything else to add on that one.
I think the really easy way to say it, Paul, is that when you start your bid out really early and you have a couple of people that have bid between 99 cents and $10, they're going to get the alert later on when the auction is finishing. You're going to get enough. You're going to, like, the point of having your auction go that early is you're getting more bidders. So if you like have 12 to 13 bidders in there, they're all going to get the update at the last 24 hours of the auction that the item is ending soon. Therefore, you know, theoretically, you have more people looking at the last couple of minutes of the auction. That would be the reason. Plus, if you do the auction, the potential for the item to go higher than the buy it is now price is there. But also the potential for it to go lower is there as well. So there's like some risk reward in terms of an auction. I typically, how do I say this? So I'm like in the middle of you guys. So like, I know you guys, like you list everything as a, at an auction because like you want to sell it in 7 days and doesn't really matter. Because once you put a card there, you're like ready for it to be gone. For me, I'll put up cards that I don't really want to sell, but unless somebody wants to buy them from me, then that's the price you can buy them for.
Yeah.
And so like I have a bunch of cards up right now that I just put up, and they might have been up for like 4 or 5 months. But there might be a hype cycle for that player, and I want my profile to be online when that hype cycle goes live, rather than me having to post and get into the algorithm after the hype cycle. So like I'll have buy it now stuff online. Like I have them right now. I have them online right now. Like for instance, I put a Michael Massey card up for a like $15 buy it now, which is just a regular Bowman Chrome auto. It's like nothing impressive. He's just got pulled up, or he's a rookie this year. So like it's nothing impressive and he's not killing it, but like somebody might be looking for a Michael Massey card, you know? So it's like, I have one. So I put it up for a buy it now. If I have a card that's not on there and it is in a buy cycle, that's when I list it for an auction. So another thing though, is I think you get less like the riffraff, I'm going to say, like the less riffraff on a buy it now, because if some like, the mentality of like an auction is people are like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh, I got to win this. Oh, you know, like it's competitive. And then at the end, as soon as that euphoria is over, they have to commit to buying it. And for sometimes people are like, oh, I was just kind of running up the bid. I really didn't want it. You know, like how many times have you guys done that in life? You know, like you're like picking on your little brother or something. And you're like, oh, you know, or, you know, in a fantasy draft in an auction, if you guys have ever done that, you're running up a player because you know somebody else likes it. And then you get stuck with the bid, you know, like that happens on eBay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's true.
So like, I think less often you would have a buy it now price accepted or like somebody's going to accept like buy it now at $200 and then they don't pay for it. Like that doesn't make sense. And I think eBay, I did see a news article a couple of months ago saying that eBay is eventually going to move to, if you do a buy it now, you have to commit the funds before the transaction goes through, which just makes sense to me, honestly. But
yeah, I think that they should also implement, I've said this multiple times on the show, they should have a version of that for bidding. So
yeah, like you have to put money in a kettle or something that you can bid from.
If you're going to, exactly. If you're going to bid in the last 12 hours of an auction, that should be that. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Because I think that you know, that's where the action really happens. And so, yeah, so back to Benjamin's question, I think Kendall brought home the point basically by saying that the alerts is a big deal. You know, we're all busy. We all have other stuff that we're doing. So, you know, if you guys are bidding on a card, then, you know, if I'm the seller, then I want you to get alerted that you like that card. And so having the 99-cent opening bid is just a very attractive thing. And it's kind of like, it's kind of a acceptable standard as well. It's kind of like something that is like an unwritten acceptable standard of selling sports cards on eBay. It's like, if you have a bid, if you have an opening bid that's like too high, people might not take you seriously. But if you have like a 99-cent opening bid, people don't think that the card's crap. They just think, oh, that's the strategy. The strategy is like the dude's opening up his thing. Like, it's almost like, I'm not saying I know what I'm doing, but I'm saying like from what I've experienced, I've heard this strategy by very reputable sellers recommended as a good strategy, and I've used it myself and it's worked. So
yeah, I do the same thing. I don't ever start it not at 99 cents if I'm going to do an auction.
Yeah. Okay. So the Reverend Rips says, do you really think players will respond to a female head coach in the NBA? That's interesting. I do. I think that, players I think that there's, regardless of who you are, you have to earn the player's respect as an NBA head coach. And I don't think that just because someone's female, that they're not going to be able to earn the NBA player's respect. I think that like we're past that. The league is past that. And I really think that there will be a market for a female NBA head coach who has cards. Absolutely. Like, I mean, I think that she has to win though. I mean, like there's going to be, it's like everybody else. There's going to be a hype cycle and then her cards are going to go up during that hype cycle. And then they're going to come down. And then they're only going to go up again if she's successful, but she's definitely going to have an equal opportunity for success in the league, as a man would. I wholeheartedly believe that. I'm not just saying that. The Reverend Rips also adds, if players like Cynthia Cooper, Cheryl Swoops, Tina Thompson, and the legend of the WNBA get limited to no play, what does it say about card collecting? So this is kind of a different, angle of a question. Thank you, the Reverend. We appreciate you being on and, love your questions. Thank you for watching. This is a different question to me, Kendall. This is like more of a question along the lines of the NBA or the WNBA collecting market being different, obviously, and being different related to the retired legends of the game that he mentions. So to me, this kind of goes along with like, this is like kind of asking about Jordan, Kobe, and Magic and Bird's cards. Like, so it's layered for me. Like, I think first of all, the WNBA card market is so new that the ultra modern market hasn't settled yet. There are collectors, but it hasn't it's far from being established. And then I think that you don't really have the legends market until after the ultra modern market gets established. So I
100% agree with you.
So I actually do think that Cynthia Cooper, Cheryl Swoops, Tina Thompson, etc., you know, Tamika Catchings would be another one. Like these people could be amazing plays that we haven't, like the Reverend might be onto something with his question. Just because they haven't had any play yet doesn't mean that they're actually not phenomenal buys right now. Kendall, what do you think?
Yeah, in our experience with card collecting, you just nailed it on the head. The vintage market comes after an established modern market, which sounds backwards, but typically card market is popping off when people are getting into a sport and they immediately see a player that they're gravitating towards on their team. And there's like this psychology of they want to prove they're an actual fan, you know? So like when somebody's getting into a new sport, you know, they're watching, they're trying to choose a team for the first time. This happens a lot right now in American soccer, by the way. So like a lot of Americans are starting to watch soccer for the first time. And so they're trying to figure out, okay, who's going to be my team? Do I root for someone in the EPL? Do I do that? And when they do that, they're going to gravitate towards a team, and they're going to gravitate towards a certain player on that first team that they're watching. You know, like, so if someone is going to pick up Tottenham right now, they watched Tottenham this weekend and Son got a hat trick, they're immediately going to go try to find maybe a Son jersey or, you know, whatever, or like a card or something like that. To it's like almost like to prove to their boys or something like that, that they're really, this is the team they've chosen to invest in. It's almost like buying stock in the fandom. And so then like if you pull back multiple layers, and I can even see this in my own life, where I started watching Everton in 2010. That was my team. I was super involved. Like, I still have been super involved. But like this year, what is that? 12 years later now, I bought a book earlier this year to read the history of the club. And I know some of the legends like Ferguson and Kendall and all that kind of stuff. And it's funny that Everton literally has a legend with my exact name. But anyway, I know some of that, but you don't learn that in your first, you know, probably first 12 months watching a club, you know. And so then I also see that with the soccer market. I'm going to compare the soccer market in America with the WNBA market really quick. It's much different, but you can see similarities here, where the soccer market right now is pretty much super modern, and you're just now getting to a part where people are trying to buy Maradona and Pele and all that kind of stuff, people that we get questions for all the time. But like, I would go on a massive limb and say that most of the people that are buying Mbappe and all that kind of stuff and Ronaldo, just because of the trend in investing in sports cards, because they look around and they're like, okay, this is a market that is untapped. Let me go buy some cards. For instance, I have a buddy who goes and buys cards and he doesn't even know like how to pronounce the names. So I'm like, okay, I know you don't know who these players are. I know you don't know how old they are. I know you don't know which country they play for. You're just like, yeah, I'm going to go buy, you know, whatever. And so I know they don't know who Pele or Maradona or any of those guys are. So like, if you go back to the WNBA market, and by the way, I think we are extremely grateful as a show to have Paul Hickey's experience in the WNBA here. He literally worked in the WNBA for three or four seasons, right?
Yeah, from 01 to 07, technically.
Okay, so a lot longer than I thought. Yeah. So the guy literally has traveled with WNBA players around the country and knows them personally. So like, I think we have a unique depth of knowledge here, is what I'm saying. So what I'm saying, Reverend, is I'll answer your second question, and then I actually do have a strong take on the first question as well. I think the vintage market of a place, when you compare it with soccer and NBA, WNBA, that comes later. So I think, like, for instance, I tried to buy a Plum card earlier this year. She plays for the Aces. She's like an absolute baller, played for UConn. I tried to buy one earlier this year, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to hold off, just because I'm like, I like watching the WNBA. I actually have watched probably 20 to 30 games this year, which was new for me. And I enjoyed watching it. Like, that was a real thing. I wasn't just watching it because of investing. Like, I was like, actually enjoyed watching it. And so then I was going to buy a Plum card because I was like, this girl's an absolute unit. And but I was like, I don't really know. I probably want to watch the WNBA at least a whole season so I can figure out what cards are marketable. I don't want to like essentially buy a pitcher or a goalie, you know, like, does that resonate? Like, you don't want to buy a position that you think is going to be good, but then you get into the card market and realize that player's not marketable. So I didn't. But the Plum card probably would have done very well considering she just won a WNBA championship. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I'm sure it went up from when I was going to buy it in, like, in June. But and then – so let me go back to his question, this question. Do you think that the NBA players will respond to a female head coach? I think Becky has earned the respect around the league. So I would say yes. And I want to point to Jaden Ivey. He's a recent WNBA or NBA draft pick. His mother is a head coach for Notre Dame, at Notre Dame basketball. So, or
Neil Ivy, she was in the league when I worked in the league.
Yeah, so she's the head coach of the Fighting Irish women's team. So Jaden has been really outspoken during the draft and everything about how his mother, like, has like really been formational, and how like he has these rich relationships with a lot of WNBA players because of what happened. And so I want to use that as like a kind of a focus group to like how like the broader NBA, I think, would receive these WNBA athletes really well. Typically the guys that are fighting most for the WNBA are a lot of NBA players. Like, you'll see NBA players going to the WNBA players like games in their actual city. Like, that happened a lot. Kobe would go to Sparks games a lot. Like, it was just, there's something there about it that game respects game. And I think that basketball specifically, now I don't, okay, I'm going to make a take here that I don't want to get canceled for, but there's a lot of players in the WNBA that don't have fathers, and there a lot of them are probably coming from low income, single parent houses. And they're and also the American school system, I think, is like 85% women teachers. So they've gone and grown up their whole lives being able to receive information and coaching and training and rules and regulations and all that kind of stuff from women their whole life.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
And so, yes,
about the women's, about the female teachers. That's a very good point.
Yeah. I do think that the NBA players would be able to have respect for a head coach if she's strong, if she's positioned well. Like, I think I would have received coaching really well from a player or from a female as well. This is a unique thing. This is where I think it crosses a line again. If I wasn't physically attracted to the female. Now, I know that like throws off a very different vibe, and I don't even want to go down that road. But I think like there are some traits that I would like, you know, like there's just some women you're just like, she could coach for sure. And then there's others that you're like, I don't know if she would hold the respect level. But I know that Becky totally could do that. She carries a demeanor that's very, very professional, very like badass, honestly. And anyway, so I do think that they could receive information well from a female in the NBA.
Yeah. It's going to happen sooner rather than later. So it's going to, I think it needs to happen. There's a lot of qualified women that need to start getting those jobs. And Swin Cash, who I was close with once upon a time, still keep in touch with a little bit, is in New Orleans as the kind of next in line to be the GM. So it'll be interesting. And I think Sue Bird is gonna be in the mix.
Dude, I love Sue. Man, I'm sad that she is done now, man. Like that, she's a ball player, my man.
Yeah. All right. So, Oh My Shoes, we gotta shout you out, man. Love you. Appreciate your chiming in, blowing up the comments here. No worries on being late. We know you got to work, but we appreciate you watching and listening during work. Shout out to Oh My Shoes' son. He has a win of the week. He traded a 96 metal Kobe Bryant rookie card for $175 worth of basketball and football rookie cards. He got a patch auto along with the new 2021-22 Zion Williamson purple. So that would be a third year Zion, along with a Cade Cunningham silver prism. Love that. Love Cade. Love the Cade silver prism. And then he also got a bunch of clear vision rookie cards from guys like Herbert and Justin Fields. Scored around 50. So there's so many different things I love about this. We don't need to go too long about the kids in the hobby thing. That's obviously very important. I love that. I love the trading aspect. I love the fact that, you know, I do love the fact that it is a younger person in the hobby making trades, getting a bunch of cards that they love, that they're excited about for one big card. It sounds like everybody wins on this one. We're proud of your son, Oh My Shoes. Thanks for sharing your W of the week.
Way to tell your son to get into cards. I love that.
Love that. All right, a couple other things that I want to hit on real quick before we go to the buy of the week, brought to you by marketmoversapp.com. You can get your first month there for only $1 by using the promo code NOOFFSEASON, all lowercase. Check out Market Movers X is coming soon. I'm about to test the beta as an affiliate partner. So I'm going to test the beta and let you guys know what that tool is going to be looking like that's different. But basically the point is Sports Card Investor and Market Movers is really working to improve their premium product. So I'm excited to see what this Market Movers X, this next generation of Market Movers looks like. I just wanted to let you guys know that they sent me that email over the weekend and I'm going to be testing That's it cool. out for them.
What's the new features?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I could kind of read them out. I haven't used it yet. No, yeah. I don't know. They just basically said, here's a link to test the beta. You know, let us know. It says all of your data for collections, price alerts, favorites should be ported over to the new version. So cool. New. I know that it'll be like a new and one of the things I was on the call with them, shout out Doug Husky, my guy over there.
Doug Husky.
Some of you probably know Doug because he does a show. It looks like Oh My Shoes has tested the beta. That's cool. He says the beta looks cool so far. That's great. Yeah, I'm going to test it out. One of the things Doug said is that they know that their UI design sucks, basically. Yeah. They're improving that. So I think that's probably the number that's one good. Thing anyone who uses the tool would probably agree. The other thing I thought was cool, I haven't dug into this, Kendall. I just wanted to hit on it real quick, is that I saw an email from MySlabs. It looks like, now MySlabs has always been integrated with eBay, but it's always been basically just to sort of verify that you're not a scumbag trying to get on MySlabs. It's basically like they make you sign up for MySlabs through your eBay profile, and then they can look at your eBay profile and see like your ratings and all of that to let you into MySlabs. So yeah. I've been selling on MySlabs for the last couple of years, as well as eBay, but I haven't, I like MySlabs for a bunch of different reasons, but I don't use it as much as eBay. But I saw an email over the weekend that said, now you can list on both MySlabs and eBay with one click, which caught my attention because I thought, that's something that will be valuable to sellers like me and maybe sellers like you all in the audience. So I'm excited to kind of test that out and report back on that. If any of you have any comments on that, I'd love to hear it. Kendall, did you see that one? Are you on MySlabs as well?
I don't use MySlabs.
Okay. All right. So let's get into buy of the week, shall we?
Yeah, I think that I just have one buy of the week, and it comes from the speculation. I don't have numbers behind it, which I'm sure you have your Market Movers savviness pulled up already. But
I do.
I would imagine I got up this morning and I was thinking, you know, when I was doing my prep for this episode, who's a person that's probably a buy right now? And I would assume that Joe Burrow cards are in a buy range.
Let me check you on that. I think that could be a very good assumption. I did update all of the football profiles. I'm updating all the football profiles every Monday morning at nooffseason.com. And as I was updating Joe Burrow's, I did notice that his prices have dipped on a lot of his cards. Let me go.
They did just sign Lyle Collins as well. And so he's been a lineman that's done pretty well in Dallas. So they're getting him more protection. I think that's actually a really great free agent signing, but
look at this. Okay. So this is marketmoversapp.com. Again, you can get your first month free for only $1 using the promo code NOOFFSEASON. I went to the deals tab and I typed in Joe Burrow graded cards only and click search. The first one that comes up is a buy it now for $1,500 of his 2020 Mosaic rookie autograph PSA 10. That's down.
Someone's panic selling down.
That's down $490 from a sale 2 days ago. 2 days ago, that sold for $1,990. So that would have been Saturday. So before the game that the Bengals went 0-2, now this is $1,500. But actually, there's a big but on this one. And this is where you have to be careful looking at tools, right? So don't be
a tool.
Say
it's a nine.
Don't be a tool. Make sure that you're looking at your tool. Dad joke. It is a nine. It's a PSA 9 DNA 10, whereas the previous sale was a full PSA 10. So you got to be careful with that. Not necessarily, but Joe Burrow is, there are other Joe Burrow cards that are down.
Yeah,
so
you've 21, got his, 18, his 17,
green Prism 13. PSA 10 is down. Yeah. So you're right. He's a good buy right now. I agree with you on that. And the data agrees with you too. So another
surely,
guy.
Surely they, the Super Bowl run they went on, it was not a fluke.
No, it wasn't. The NFL is weird like that. I mean, he'll be back. Like, he might not be back this year, but he'll be back. You know what I mean? What up, VJ Patel? Good to have you on the flagship show. VJ joined us as kind of our pseudo third host on Friday with Gary on the Basketball Card Strategy Show. It was Gary and I going live, and you can check that out on on Apple and Spotify and YouTube right now if you want to check it out, if you didn't see it live like VJ did. But VJ was basically like the third host. He was adding a bunch of valuable information. So glad to have you on the Sports Card Strategy Show. Okay, so Kendall, your thought process with your buy of the week is exactly my thought process. But rather than go straight to the deals tab, what I did was I typed in Zach Wilson. Because Zach Wilson, when I was watching the Jets come back and beat the Browns,
You just had to bring it up.
Sorry, Kendall. That's shots fired at Kendall's Browns. When I was watching that, I was like, you know what? If these guys can do it with Joe Flacco, I bet Zach Wilson could be a sneaky, sneaky buy right now. So what I did is I type in price movements by player. I go to that tab in Market Movers. And then I go Zach Wilson, graded cards only, just because I want to only buy graded cards at this point. Whatever. You could not do graded cards only. You could just do Zach Wilson. And I like to go like last 365, last 180, last 90, et cetera. And you can see Zach's down. You know, he's down. He's down 22% in the last 90 days.
There was a massive hype cycle for him in the last last 180 days from when he went cougar hunting. Then he had like a massive, massive spike. And then he came down with the injury. So.
Yeah, and so, but his volume change, like the liquidity of his cards, he's selling. Like, this is what I like to look for. His price is down 22%, but his volume is up 150%. So then I go to the cards, and I see the cards, and I decide cards make sense. So if basically what happens is when you do it that way in Market Movers, you get the cards that are up in value first. So then I just click this column twice to sort by descending to see which Zach Wilson cards are down. And I don't love buying base cards, but when I see that his 2021 Donruss base PSA 10 with a pop of 372 is down 54%, and it's only $54 a card, that's not that bad of an idea to go scoop up like five of those. And then sell him when he comes back and there's a hype cycle around him. I don't hate that. So that's my buy of the week. Would love your feedback on that. Anybody in the comments or Kendall, let me know what you think.
No, I do like Zach. I think he's also positioned to do well. It's a different strategy because the Jets are kind of on an upswing, except for he's not there. He has been active in the past 2 weeks, but Joe Flacco has kind of carried this team. My one thing is, I like Zach Wilson, and I've said on record many times that I think he is the quarterback from that age that I'm most confident in. Now Trevor Lawrence showed very well this week. I'll give you that. Probably Trevor Lawrence is a sell for me. But at the same time, I think Zach is positioned in a much better scenario and with much better skill sets than the other guys. So I would have put him above Trey Lance this offseason. I would have put him above Mac Jones this offseason. I just would have invested higher in Zach than I would have in the other guys. Now, had I actually put dollars to it, I would have bought Zach. Now, hear me out. Joe Flacco looks really good with this offense. And he throws a deep ball better than anyone in the NFL. Like, that's his thing, is throwing deep balls. And that he burned the Browns several times on deep balls this week. And so I just wonder, could Zach Wilson have made that deep ball throw? Or would he have checked down to something and they wouldn't have won? You know, so it's just like, I don't know which one is actually better for this current team. Although I do think longevity-wise, obviously, Joe Flacco is not the future of the Jets. You know,
yeah,
he's been around for quite a while. But one of, like, that's always been his thing, is the accurate deep ball thrower. Like, that's Joe's thing. So, I don't know. We'll see how Zach translates. But I do think that's a great buy opportunity.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to do my sell first. So, my sell of the week is near and dear to my heart. But it goes with my strategy of getting rid of NFL skill position players while you can. And this is Amon-Ra St. Brown,
star
number one wideout for the Detroit Lions. He has 17 catches for 180 yards and 3 touchdowns in through 2 weeks. And that is not just one big game. That's 8 for 64 and a touch in week one. And that's 9 for 116 and 2 touches, as well as a run for 51 yards in week two. And so you can see he's selling really well. He has a Panini Contenders Super Bowl ticket auto variation sell for $17.50 yesterday, as well as this rookie ticket auto sell yesterday. And the 130 point says it went for $1,500 best offer. So nice. Those are huge prices. This is so. Here's why he's a sell, right? Let me break this down. This isn't just because he's hot right now at the beginning of the season. This is because he's a third round pick. He plays for the Detroit Lions. If you own his cards, you have won the lottery with how he's playing. He's going to be a stud. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's not going to have a good NFL career and you need to sell him right now. What I'm saying is the hype and the prices may never be this high again for a guy like this. So in the words of our very own Paul Fisher, let's crystallize these investments. You can buy back in on Amon-Ra St. Brown later. I promise you. Great player. Love him. Third round pick, Detroit Lions. Sell him now. That's my sell of the week.
Nice. That's a good, that, so I'm on that similar framework of like a skill position player that position themselves very well. And this is where I was like, okay, I have some crazy numbers for you.
Let's go.
So I'm going to save the skill player for, because you'll understand for a reason, but I have three sells for this week. One of them is Tua. I don't believe in the hype. Go ahead and sell him. Also, I looked a little bit silly last week by like literally calling out Lamar Jackson, and then he just balls in the first half. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to eat this. I know Paul's going to bring it up. And then in the second half, he didn't look that great. Like, he didn't look as great. And then they lost the game by 3 touchdowns. I don't believe in the Ravens. Sell Lamar Jackson. But then, so I also was looking at some cards. And I love, like, diving into some F1 cards recently. So if you look on the sports card investor like homepage, it's like little ticker thing. I was just like going through here yesterday or today, and Esteban Ocon is up 467%. And I was like, what? Why is Esteban up 467%? So I like did a little digging. And the sales that are up are the reason why, and this is why you got to know your tools, which is exactly what Paul is saying. There was a purple refractor card that sold for like $4, and then the next one sold for like $18. So it wasn't like, you know, his autos are going from like 100 to like 4,000 or something like that. It's just one car was going from $4 to $16 and threw off the whole algorithm of the tool. So you've got to know your tools. Esteban is not really a great investment. I would say he's in the bottom. And Alpine is a wreck right now. They are a struggle bus and a half. I don't know if you have a take on Esteban, but I didn't watch the Formula One show yet this week, but do you have anything to say here before I jump into my second one?
I think it's a great call about, you know, understanding what the data is actually saying. And you got to love the driver in this case. And I don't love Ocon. I don't see it with him. So we're on the same page there.
Okay. So my second one, I was like, okay, so then this is one that is insane. So Elijah Moore Mosaic Reactives up 2,374%. Like, now this is another Jets thing. Elijah Moore has had a pretty good season so far. And now this is also one that went from like recent sales of like a dollar to like, you know, 10 or something like that. Now this one is saying the average raw value is $1.29. So it's like, you know, like, when you say they're up 2,000, like, that can look really appealing on an Instagram post. Do not fall for that. You know, like, don't fall for that. But additionally, sell position players that are popping off. If you have a nice Elijah Moore that you pulled in a pack that you're like, okay, I don't know what this guy is going for, or I don't know who this guy is. You know, like, for instance, you know, there are some good skill players on this Jets team that are kind of like waiting to figure out this cohesion. Elijah Moore is one of them. Corey Davis had a game yesterday with that one deep ball from Joe Flacco. Oh, yeah. You know, so it's just like, if these players are popping off, get them in your eBay sales. Same thing happened with one of my buddies named Ivan this weekend. He's invested in this guy named, let's see the name. He is invested in a guy named Livian Soto. So Livian's had like an okay week, and I'm pretty sure he got called up to the Nationals because the Nationals are just horrific. Now, I'm spitting this off the top of my head, so I don't know a whole lot about Livian Soto, other than I know that I don't want to invest in him. But sorry, my friend Ivan did. Oh, okay, so he's with the Angels. He got... he's been at 4 at-bats, 2 hits, 1 home run, 50% average. Okay, if you have any Livian Soto cards, get rid of them. The dude's not good. So he texted me and he goes, yeah, Livian Soto investment ended up working out. I was like, cool, sell him. You know, like, that's immediately what I told him. Like, don't hold these position players. When you see a meteoric rise, please don't hold out that these guys are going to be the next Juan Soto. Livian Soto is not Juan Soto. He's just not. And the Angels are horrible. Please sell him. So anyway,
sorry. Love that, Kendall. Good stuff, man. For a second. Love it. All right. So time for Would You Rather. So Kendall, would you rather, I have two of these, have a free year of premium nooffseason.com or not?
Give me the free year.
If you want a free year, email paul@nooffseason.com to find out how. And I want to hook you up with a free year of the premium sports card investment report and all of the content at nooffseason.com.
Hell yeah,
so email me at paul@nooffseason.com. All right. Now, my second would you rather is in the Card Content Creator Bowl, I am going up against my new friend Lou Janu of Card Talk Pod this week. And I am up 159.78 to 125.88. I have one player yet to play. That player is named Devontae Smith. He goes tonight against the Minnesota Vikings. Lou has three players yet to play. He has Justin Jefferson, unfortunately for me, Kirk Cousins, who many of you already know throws the ball to Justin Jefferson, which is unfortunate for me. And he has a guy that could maybe not score at all, but that I used to love, named Kenneth Kenny Gainwell. So basically, this is a fantasy football would you rather, and I am winning by 34. I'm winning by 33.9 points. So let's just say 34 points, and he has two extra players. Would you rather have my team or his?
His, for sure. I'm looking at your team right now, and although I do believe that Donovan Smith is probably going to play pretty well, or Devontae Smith is going to play well today, I think Justin Jefferson is unreal. And so there, he's going to have a game. I would be nervous if I were you having a, you know, 30 point lead or whatever it is with Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins on your tail, and then add the Gainwell thing in there. I don't think that factors into it really at all. But I would be nervous if I were you. I would feel more confident in Lou's situation than I do yours.
I agree. I agree. Unfortunately, I would love to crush Lou, but I think I might need to shift the cosmos here and say that I'm a little nervous about my chances. Okay, let's parlay the would you rather. Would you rather be going up against Justin Jefferson in fantasy in this scenario, knowing that you have a good chance of losing, or would you rather have this 2020 Panini Prizm Laser Justin Jefferson PSA 10 back in your PWCC vault from PSA?
That's sick. I'd rather have that for sure.
But I'd also sell it. And that's going to be listed probably tonight as well, along with the Becky Hammond.
That's a good call.
All right. What do we got next? What do we got next on the show? We got some moves. I'm going to go through some moves. So football card rankings at nooffseason.com, completely rearranged every Monday, updated throughout the week during the football season. That's the moves. Check it out. Nooffseason.com. Go to the football card rankings. Also, Andy Kaysen and I, during the season, are hosting every Wednesday at, I think, 9 a.m. Eastern time, live football card strategy show. So you get like weekly Andy on the network here. So really pumped about that. Oh My Shoes and Toa are giving some nice reactions to the Justin Jefferson. Appreciate that from you guys. All right, so let's hit real quick, Kendall, before we wrap. I had a couple of audience questions that emailed me. So shout out to a couple new listeners. Adam Lubin wants to know about card grading, the grading process, and how to grade. I think you actually might be emailing with Adam now, because I looped you guys together about the wildcard service that you guys have for grading. And so basically, he just wanted to ask about the process for vintage baseball. He has some valuable vintage baseball cards. Pete Rose, Rod Carew, Steve Carlton, Jim Palmer rookies. So those are pretty nice. And then he's got some ultra modern basketball, football, baseball, and soccer. So he's got Ja, Anthony Edwards, Tarik Skubal, and Riley Green. So we know he's from Detroit. He's also got Jameson Williams, I think, that he's looking at, who doesn't really have cards yet for the Lions. Cade Cunningham. And then he mentions Jadon Sancho and Mbappe in soccer. So he's got like a plethora of cards that need to get graded.
What a wild variety.
Yeah. So what would you do if you were him on the grading here? What's your thoughts on how you would advise him to kind of sift through this eclectic mix and have it potentially graded?
I would not grade Skubal, first off. Skubal, a good pitcher, probably a Detroit favorite right now. But at the same time, not investable. So don't put more money into that investment on your side. I would sell it raw. I would also sell it now. not like now, but I'm saying like don't wait. I don't think.
Don't wait until he's a washed out Detroit Tiger pitcher.
Yeah.
I say that as a Tigers fan, by the way.
Yeah, I think, more importantly than that, I think they move him. I don't think he stays a Detroit Tiger. Like there was consistent murmurings that he might move like at the trade deadline this year. So the Tigers are further out than I think they want to be. They're further out than I think they thought they were going to be. I think they thought Torkelson and Green were going to be like the next Holy Grail, and it didn't end up being that way. So I would sell to Skubal. And I like Williams. Like, you know, the only thing that saddens me about Amon-Ra St. Brown is that Williams is going to be right on his tail, and that could be really dangerous for the Lions. Like, I hope Jared Goff has a resurgence in Detroit. I think that'd be so cool. But but he, you know, he doesn't have really any investable cards yet. But he's a cool ad. I think he's a cool speculation piece to look for in the future. Yeah. Trying to think of some of the other names that you said.
Yeah, they were mainly vintage based. Like, I would grade Cade Cunningham for sure. I would grade Ja and Anthony Edwards. I mean, I said for sure, assuming that the card looks like it's going to get a 9 or a 10, I would grade it.
And if you Riley don't know how Green, to do that, if you don't know how to evaluate that, there's a lot of YouTube videos that are helpful there.
And I would go PSA. That's my other thing. Like, I would go PSA with these. I think that they're at the if you're a member, which is affordable for the year, I think you can still get in at an affordable price point for the year. I think the $30 a card level doesn't have a minimum anymore. I think $22 a card does. So if you don't have that many cards, I'd go $30 a card. That's the same as SGC. So you're basically paying a little bit of a membership fee to get in the door. I think it's worth it because the resale value on PSA, as much as I love and respect SGC, it's just not yet where PSA is. I don't want to have the debate about whether or not it's going to get there someday. I think it probably will. It's not there yet. So I'd go PSA. PSA has been moving my submissions fairly rapidly. I've been very happy with the pace. If you can't get a membership, I would email Kendall, sales@wildcardstrading.com, and he can use his membership to hook you up with a submission. Mm-hmm. And he's doing that as a service, not really.
Yeah, basically all we do, guys, is we just add like $10 to it just to basically make the work worth it, basically. So
yeah, so the other question real quick from Adam, Kendall, hopefully Adam, that helps you. The other question from Adam was, any episodes of the Soccer Card Strategy Show on Topps Museum series, specifically soccer? Kendall, I just wanted to ask you that on the show just in case you had any thoughts in general about that set for Adam.
I don't have a full-on episode's worth probably of thoughts here, but what I could say is there are some highly investable cards in the museum because they have RPAs. So, for instance, that Vinny Jr. card that we looked at last week in the Gauntlet was a Topps Museum collection, and it's probably like it's worth the high-end worth of a Topps set. So, how liquid is Mbappe, VJ says. Very. I would say probably the most liquid player right now. So
yeah, and one other question is from Lenny Levine, who's emailed me quite a bit. Great guy. Appreciate you, Lenny. His question is related to something Andy. So Andy talked about Julio Jones at the end of last week's football card strategy show. I said, anything else to add, Andy? And he talked about all these data points and reasons as to why Julio Jones is a great buy. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for Andy, Julio was a scratch this past week, but I think Andy would still probably say that everything that he said on Wednesday still stands related to Julio Jones. So Lenny asks, about a specific Julio card that I haven't really done much research on, but there's this Ball Above Head 2011 Topps Chrome variation of, apparently this is a very rare card. You can see here raw, it's they're asking $60, basically $60 if you factor in the shipping. And Lenny says that he's seen some BGS BGS 9 for $3,000 of this card, and CSG 9 as a hunt for $150 on eBay. So kind of a wide range of buy it now stuff for this card. And I just kind of wanted to help Lenny with a little bit of discussion on the show. I get why Julio Jones could be a buy. If you want more information on that, go check out the most recent episode of the Football Card Strategy Show where Andy breaks it down. Kendall, what do you think about like these supposedly rare short print, super short print photo variations of cards like this? Is this something you would be interested in?
No, but that's not a fair question either, considering I don't ask or I don't sorry.
So you don't buy football cards generally like this, but the profile of future Hall of Famer still playing, could contend for a Super Bowl this year if he stays healthy. He could see a
Yeah, I think Odell it's an Beckham. Interesting.
He would be like an Odell Beckham this year, kind of how he was last year. I don't know that there's – Lenny, here's my take. I don't know that there's a lot of upside with Julio. I understand where Andy's coming from, but I think – I'm going to go back and listen to what Andy said on the last show. To me, this would be too high of a price point for me, like $60 for a raw Julio Jones card. I don't care if it's a super short print. Like, I'm not going to make any money off of that card. Like, best case scenario –
because he's still a receiver and it's quarterback collecting.
Best case scenario, I'm going to resell that card for like $45. And that would be if the Bucs win the Super Bowl. Like, I just don't think that card's going to go for more than that. So I wouldn't pay that price for it. If you can get it for like significantly less, like this, to me, this is like a $15 card. Raw.
Yeah, no, that's different. Now there would be, I like the potential play between the SGC and then re-slabbing. I think that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Because there's quite, if I heard you right, it was from like 150 to like 2000.
CSG 9 for 150 on eBay is what he said.
And how much is the PSA 9 going for?
He said the BGS 9, somebody wants 3K, but I don't think it necessarily went for 3K.
Okay, well, I'm assuming the PSA would be even more desirable than the BGS. So yep. If you got an SGC that crossed it over and then sold it, I'm sure there's a decent market for that if it is a short print.
Now, I like that play. Kendall, I totally agree with you on
that's
that.
That's the play I make. I wouldn't make the raw play.
I wouldn't make the raw play, and I wouldn't make the buy this and then try to flip it later as is. I think that with I'm just going to say I would treat this more like a retired hero than a – like, he technically is active. I get that. But I would treat this more like I see this Kobe card in a PSA 9 goes for this, and I see it over here in an SGC 9.5 for significantly less.
Yeah.
I'm going to not depend on the market rising, but – just do the cross grading play. I like that. Hey, Paul Carl Cards, thanks for joining the show. Really appreciate you jumping into the comment section. Let us know if there's anything we can help you with. I think that's all we got for today, Kendall. So do you have anything else you want to add before we sign off?
I'm going to once again say the Eastern Conference of the MLS is coming down to an absolute riot. There is like seven teams that are competing for three playoff spots, and it is super fun to watch. And Columbus is the Cincinnati's rival, and they are crumbling from within, and I love it.
Kendall loves the MLS, guys, just in case you didn't know. So we got a lot of love in the comments, everybody. Let us know what you think.
VJ asking about the card.
Let's take VJ. Let's take
is that
VJ
the card we looked at last week?
VJ, you are, hold on. VJ is on Instagram running Card Collector. Is that right? I think VJ's in the UK. He's running Card Collector on Instagram. Let's help him out real quick before we sign off. He's trying to make a play on some Vinny Jr. because we talked on the basketball card strategy show. Funny enough, Gary asked me about Vinny Jr. Go figure that. And so we were talking about Vinny Jr. And VJ got into that conversation as well. Yeah, he is running Card Collector. The_running_card_collector. That's VJ. So Kendall, help him out with the Vinny Jr. Silver Donruss 2018 press proof. He's trying to buy a PSA 9 of that card for, we're thinking 60 GBPs, which I think is around 67-ish US dollars is a good price for a, so PSA 9 2018 Donruss rated rookie silver press proof. I think the guy originally wanted, I'm going into our IG string here. Maybe VJ can throw it in the chat. Guy wanted No, yeah, you wanted 70. So not that different.
The last two sales were 65 and 93. So 70 British pound. I think it's a fair price for it. Yeah.
I like it.
I think that's a decent price to get in for a Vinny card. You could probably now. I will say, Vijay, you're not going to make a ton of money on the return, but I would imagine that you could probably sell it for 140 here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'd say that's okay. I totally agree with Kendall. That's almost exactly what I put in the IG DM, I think, with Vijay. Is that like, I like the play. I think it's safe. I don't think it goes down. I don't think it goes up that much. But I mean, if it does go up to 140, that's doubling your money. I mean, that's do that all day long, right? So I like it.
Right.
So, all right. Go FC Cincinnati. Go MLS for Kendall. I love all you guys. Thanks for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show. This has been episode 48. We got much more coming. And everybody,
cue the rock music.
A great day. Here is the rock music.